Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Office Space Solutions Limited Q2 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Ramani, Chairman and Managing Director of Office Space Solutions Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Amit.
Thank you. Good evening and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the call. Along with me, I have Mr. Sumit Lakhani, CEO, Mr. Ravi Dugar, Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. For the Q2 FY26 results, we have uploaded our presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me start with a brief overview of the business for the year. At Office, we take great pride in the journey we have undertaken, a journey that has transformed us from being a pioneer in the flexible segment to becoming India's largest and most trusted workplace solutions provider. What began as an idea to make workspaces more accessible and agile has evolved into a national platform that is redefining how India works, collaborates, and grows. Over the years, we have continuously adapted to shifting market dynamics, anticipating the changing needs of enterprises and professionals while remaining steadfast in our mission to deliver high-quality, technology-driven, and future-ready work environments. Today, we stand tall with 247 centers and nearly 175,000 seats across 18 cities, serving a diverse base of over 3,400 client companies from dynamic startups and emerging enterprises to large corporates and GCCs. This scale is not just a reflection of our size, but of the execution excellence and operational depth we have built over the past decade. Our ability to scale consistently and profitably in a rapidly evolving commercial real estate environment underscores the strength of our business model and the resilience of our team. As we look ahead, we are strategically leveraging our strong leadership in the value segment to move up the value chain. The future of workspaces is being shaped by flexibility, quality, and technology, and Office has positioned itself as a full spectrum across both value and premium offerings. We have increased our focus on Grade A buildings and premium locations, aligning with the evolving requirements of GCCs, large enterprises, and global clients seeking high-quality, tech-enabled, and sustainable workspaces. The approach is already reflected in our new supply acquisition, with 70% of our new supply now coming from Grade A+ assets and 100% from Grade A assets. This reconfirms our continued progress toward premiumization of our portfolio. Our portfolio mix is also evolving. Our premium workspaces now feature 21 gold and five elite centers across some of the most prestigious micro-markets in the country. Further, our geographic expansion strategy continues to strengthen the pan-India presence. Our Tier 2 seat capacity grew by 28% year-on-year, showcasing the growing acceptance and adoption of flexible workspace models beyond traditional metropolitan centers. Both the flex and the enterprise segment of our business continues to grow at a strong pace. The enterprise segment is propelled by the entry of new mid-sized GCCs setting up operations in India. Our ability to deliver customized high-performance workspaces supported by cutting-edge technology and robust project execution has made Office the partner of choice for large organizations seeking speed, quality, and flexibility. On the flex side of the business, which includes co-working centers and less than 100 seats cohorts, we are witnessing a strong network effect across our client base, expansion from existing clients both within current centers and new locations. This continues to drive steady growth, complemented by healthy new client acquisitions. A significant milestone in our strategic journey is the planned subsidiarization of Office Transform, our high-potential design and build business. We believe this vertical represents a key growth engine for Office, and tracking it separately will enable greater focus, strategic clarity, and scalability. This move is designed to optimize management bandwidth and unlock new growth opportunities by providing entity with the enhanced flexibility in capital deployment, strategic partnerships, and expansion initiatives to scale the business. The business now aims to expand beyond workplace design and build into new segments such as retail, hospitality, and institutional projects, supported by a dedicated leadership team and a clear financial visibility. Over time, our vision is to position Office Transform as a leading full-service design and build platform, serving clients across all sectors. Now coming to our financial performance in H1 FY26, Office maintained its strong growth trajectory supported by sustained client demand, healthy occupancy levels, and operational efficiency. For H1 FY26, our operating EBITDA grew by 44% year-on-year. Revenue expanded by 28% and PAT rose 49%, reflecting both top-line growth and improved profitability. Revenue for this quarter grew by 26% year-on-year to 367 crores, while EBITDA increased to 32% to 132 crores, with margin expanding by 180 basis points compared to the same period last year. Our co-working and allied services segment in Q2 FY26 continued to lead the growth, rising 36% year-on-year to 297 crores and contributing to about 80% of the total revenue. This momentum was driven by our ability to maintain high occupancy across all expanded seat base, coupled with strong traction from GCCs and enterprise clients. Our construction and fit-out projects grew by 19% quarter-on-quarter to 69 crores. We see this segment gaining significant traction in the coming quarters, buoyed by a healthy order pipeline and a favorable market outlook, and we remain confident of meeting our full-year guidance. The Indian office market continued its strong momentum in Q3. Despite global macroeconomic uncertainties, including changes in U.S. tariff and visa policies, as of year-to-date FY25, cumulative gross leasing volume stood at approximately 64 million square feet, putting the market on track to match or surpass last year's record high. GCC transactions remain a key growth driver, contributing 32% of the quarterly gross leasing and about 30% year-to-date, underscoring their expanding footprint in India. India has firmly established itself as one of the world's most mature and dynamic, flexible office ecosystems. At a time when global occupiers are recalibrating portfolios for greater agility, India's flex sector is not merely keeping pace, it's setting global benchmarks for scale, maturity, and innovation. By Q2 2025, India's office footprint stood at about 80 million square feet across the top 8 cities, the largest in APAC region, and on track to reach about 85 million square feet by year end. And looking at crossing about the 100 million square foot milestone by 2026. Demand has grown in tandem, rising nearly sixfold since 2022, as occupiers increasingly favor shorter turnkey managed solutions, and faster go-to-market setups. In 2024, flexible workspace contributed to around 15% of total new office leasing, underscoring their mainstream acceptance and central role in shaping India's modern workspace landscape. With over 65% year-on-year surge in net absorption, industry analysts expect flex penetration to soon reach one-fifth of all commercial take-up in India, positioning the country as a dynamic hub for innovative workplace models and reinforcing its appeal to both domestic and global enterprises. Flexibility and agility are driving India's flex space story, and this trend is set to accelerate as firms actively seek business-ready offices to rapidly scale or adjust headcount as needed while facilitating a premium experience for their clients. As we move forward, our focus remains unwavering to build the most agile, high-performing, and future-ready workspace ecosystem in India. On the client side, we continue to enhance the experience through technology, integration, superior design, and sustainable operations. Our aim is to position Office not just as a workspace provider, but as a long-term strategic partner that empowers businesses to scale with agility and confidence. Let me now hand over the call to Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our CEO, to share H1 FY26 and Q2 FY26 operational highlights. Over to you, Sumit.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening, everyone. I would like to share with you the operational highlights for Q2 FY2026. On the supply side, during the quarter, we added 14,000 new seats, bringing our total capacity to around 147,000 operational seats pan-India as of September 2025, a 33% year-on-year growth, including centers currently in the fit-out phase and those under LOI. Our total capacity now stands at over 170,000 seats across 247 centers, covering an expansive 8.4 million sq ft. As of September 2025, our exit month occupancy stood at 74%, while centers operational for over 12 months achieved a robust 84% occupancy. Year-on-year, our growth remains robust. Operational seats and total seats grew by 33% and 23%, respectively. Looking ahead, we have a pipeline of centers under fit-out, along with signed LOIs for 22 new centers, adding approximately 24,000 seats and 1.1 million sq ft of chargeable area. On the premium workspace side, we now have 26 centers divided between 21 gold centers and 5 elite centers. On the demand side, we signed contracts for 15,000+ new seats in Q2 FY2026 and approximately 30,000+ for H1 of FY2026, compared to almost about 25,000 seats in H1 of FY2025, reflecting a robust revenue pipeline. Approximately 61% of our occupied seats are taken by large corporates and MNCs, 23% by SMEs, 15% by startups, and remaining share by freelancers. Notably, 44% of our clients operate across multiple centers within our network. The average client tenure is 36 months, with an average lock-in period of 23 months, demonstrating strong long-term client commitment. For clients with greater than 100 seats, the average client tenure is 47 months, with an average lock-in period of 30 months. Our client base remains highly diversified, with more than 3,400+ active clients as of September 30, 2025. Our portfolio continues to demonstrate strong enterprise depth, with large cohorts, which are, let's say, 200+ seats, now accounting for nearly half of our total client base, including 34% from 500+ seat segment and overall 61% from 100+ seat cohort. Over 10 GCCs are already operating out of our 5 elite centers, further reinforcing our capability in delivering a premium global experience. In H1 FY2026, also saw us sign 9+ large corporates, MNCs, taking up 5,000+ seats. An existing Fortune 500 IT client, who currently has a portfolio with us across 5 locations, signed further expansion of 1,000 seats across 2 Tier 2 cities. That concludes my update. I will now hand over to Ravi, our CFO, for the financial discussion.
Thanks, Sumit. Good evening and a very warm welcome to everyone. Let me give you a quick overview on our financial performance. For Q2 and H1 of FY26, our consolidated operating revenues stood at 367 crores, which is a strong growth of 26% on a YoY basis. For H1 FY26, it was 702 crores, which is again a growth of around 28% on a YoY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 132 crores, which is a growth of 32% on YoY basis. The margins stood at 36.1% for Q2. As of H1 FY26, the EBITDA stood at 259 crores, a growth of 45%, with EBITDA margins at 36.9%. In Q2 FY26, PAT was at 16 crores versus a PAT of 15 crores, which excludes all the exceptional items. For H1 of FY26, PAT was 26 crores versus a profit of 17 crores, excluding exceptional items. On the IGAAP equivalent basis, which is adjusted for Ind AS 116 on lease rentals and other Ind AS, namely Ind AS 109 and Ind AS 102, for Q2 FY of 26, our consolidated operating revenues stood at 366 crores, which is a growth of 25% on a YOY basis. And for H1, the number was at 701 crores, a growth of 28% on YOY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 52 crores in Q2, which is a growth of 18% on YOY basis. For H1 FY26, the EBITDA stood at 100 crores, which is a growth of 38% on YOY basis. For Q2 FY26, IGAAP equivalent depreciation was at 29 crores and finance cost at 5 crores. And for H1, equivalent depreciation stood at 56 crores and finance cost was at 11 crores. We continue to maintain a strong liquidity position. Our gross debt stood at around 21 crores in Q2 FY26 as against 28 crores in Q2 of last year, resulting into a debt equity ratio of 0.04, a notable improvement from 0.07 in Q2 of FY25. Our net debt to equity ratio is at negative 0.18. With continued improvements in profitability and liquidity, we expect to remain in a very comfortable position on debt to equity ratio. Our return on capital employed is at 65% annualized for Q2 FY26 versus 62% for the entire financial year FY25, underscoring the strength of our financial performance. With this, we now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Adhidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have actually one question which I may have two or three parts to it. What I notice is now that our MA share has now come down to around 61% of the overall total supply. Obviously, I understand we are trying to premiumize our product and hence the quality of real estate and JD developments would require us to go the straight lease way. So could you just help us understand over more of medium term, what does it mean for our realization and also our EBITDA margins, right, as we move away to more straight lease? And consequently, even on our CapEx requirement, how does it change our CapEx requirements versus what we have been doing historically? So that is what I wanted to understand first. Yeah, thank you.
Sure. So, Adhidev, primarily with respect to managed aggregation, there is no change in terms of strategy. The current pipeline of new centers which you see with respect to managed aggregation is almost about 65-odd%. It's just that in the current last two-odd quarters, we had seen a bit more straight leases and couple of, you know, elite centers which came on board. So from our perspective, the overall strategy with respect to managed aggregation continues to stay the same.
Okay. So but to understand for more premium grade properties, right, grade, are you able to still source managed MA deals as easily or are you compelled to go to straight lease? I think that was more the what I was trying to get at.
So fundamentally, yeah, if you look at the way the supply strategy is happening with respect to elite properties, as we have also explained over the last couple of quarters, the supply acquisition is primarily around on straight lease properties. Whereas over the last one odd year, we have taken a specific focus with respect to increasing the building quality for the managed aggregation properties also, which we sourced. With respect to the managed aggregation properties which we are sourcing, we are able to source more successfully the better grade A buildings. As mentioned during in our commentary, now in terms of the new additions over the last 1 year, 70% of properties which we have sourced is under grade A plus supply and 100% across grade A. Most of the properties And one of the strategies which is working well for us is forward leasing of new buildings under managed aggregation. So from that perspective, we feel very confident in terms of acquiring supply and the MA model.
Okay, sure, sure. That is clear. And just on the last, touching last part on the margins, now now we are, I think, settled at this 14% to 15% sort of margin range. So when do you see maybe some uptick from here at a portfolio level?
Probably in the last one or two quarter results also, I would have given a guidance that for the current year, financial year, we expect margins to stay stable between 14 to 15%. Next financial year, we expect a kind of a positive upside on the margins as the blended occupancy increases a bit.
Okay, okay. So just trying to understand again, because with our premiumization strategy and at length how it helps our margins overall in the from a 2 to 3 year point of view. Just wanted to just directionally get some idea. Yeah.
So directionally, premiumization is going to help us with respect to improving the margins. But the impact of it would require at least 4 to 6 odd quarters and a bit more a larger portfolio of premium centers. As you have, would have noticed that from this quarter, we have also started reporting the premium, the number of portfolio of our premium centers, which is almost about 26 centers. So as this 26 odd centers starts increasing and as a percentage of the total portfolio it increases, it will start having a positive impact on the margins.
Okay, sure, sure. Okay, all that is very helpful. Yeah, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, on the subsidiary, on carving out the design and build to a wholly owned subsidiary, if you can help us understand how you're thinking about capital allocation, leadership bandwidth, and also the corporate overhead sharing between the core and the subsidiary business. And as a follow-up, if you can also help us understand, so I read that you're expanding into newer sectors like retail and hospitality. So what gives you the right to win there in terms of capabilities or relationships or any execution expertise over there?
Sure. Thanks, Girish. So obviously the move is intended to provide greater flexibility in terms of capital deployment, strategic partnerships and expansion into new initiatives. And again, you know, I think the, in terms of the, when you look at the co-working business and our, you know, the transform business, one of the feedbacks that we have always gotten is that, you know, can we split these costs properly? So I think what will do for us is that two businesses on its own, will, on a standalone basis, you can track. In terms of, you know, the corporate costs that you mentioned, obviously anything that even today, whatever is allocated to, you know, the co-working managed office business or the transform business, I think can be seen clearly in our financials as how it's demarcated. So those costs obviously will get realigned. In terms of your question on, you know, retail and hospitality, obviously in commercial interior space, we have the market leadership. You know, we do a fair bit of work across different client types in that space. On retail and hospitality, some of that expertise will have to be built either organically or inorganically going forward. And, you know, we will continue to look at opportunities of expansion both in these sectors and kind of take it from there.
Got it. And also on this business, what I'm seeing is that the revenue momentum is lacking this year, right, first half. So how should we see the this business going heading into, let's say, 26 and 27, 28, maybe more, let's say, near to medium term and even long term? How should we look at what the order book visibility?
Yeah. So, Girish, there's a very strong demand in this segment. Obviously, better way of looking at this segment is over a long period on a yearly basis, right? Because every quarter you could have some changes. But, for example, Q1 to Q2 of 26, we have grown by almost 20%, right? So there is a time gap between the booking of the project, the revenue delivery, and but clearly we are seeing, you know, a good growth momentum as we go forward. We strongly believe that the, you know, the design and build, commercial interior design and build is extremely large opportunity. Conventional leasing continues to grow in this country as we have seen over the last few years. We will continue to see momentum in the design build fit out space. So obviously we are very, very bullish. I think this a little bit of a blip is more of a quarterly thing, but I think on a yearly basis we are very, very bullish on the overall expansion opportunity and as well as how we see the space growing. So the guidance for the year remains the same.
Got it. Secondly, in terms of your guidance, like your earlier guidance, you had indicated that you would want to consolidate in first half, drive occupancies and maybe start your expansion or resume your expansion in second half, right? So where are we in that journey currently? And I also see that occupancies have increased by around 2% in the last 6 months. So do you see any further room for pickup? The trajectory there and also the expansion momentum.
Yeah, so Girish, with respect to blended occupancy, yeah, you are right. We have seen improvement around on that, and we are on a strong path with respect to increasing the blended occupancy. As you would see in H1, we have already done sold almost about 30,000 plus seats, and a lot of those seats will get occupied in Q3 and Q4 as well, which is going to impact us, have a positive impact on us. In H2, we see we are already started gearing up for a larger kind of supply acquisition. So that has already happened. We've also doing a lot of projects are under fit outs. So Q3, Q4, the supply acquisition is going strong, and so that for FY27 and H1 of FY28, we are able to deliver a strong growth. Because if you look at primarily at broadly our numbers with a 74% of blended occupancy, we still have a very significant leeway of growth only by bringing in occupancy from the current seats. Right. So now the supply which we are picking up and building up the pipeline is going to help us with respect to driving growth for H1 of FY28.
Got it. And lastly, the presentation talks about a one-off of 3.5 crores related to FA write-off. What is that about?
Yeah. So as part of a regular, review of our portfolio, so there are a few centers which have been closed down or terminated. So this is the write-down what we have taken on account of, non-movable assets on those sectors.
Okay, got it. So this is like a recurring thing, or like you keep seeing centers getting closed on an annual basis, right?
On an annual basis, we keep doing this exercise.
So I think the way to look at it is obviously, there are, we've been in business for almost 10 years, right? There are centers which have probably completed one cycle or maybe two cycles in some cases as part of our portfolio strategy to have a consistent experience. In some cases, we close down a center which does not work with our current brand ethos. Or it could be that, that center was done at a stage and a time where the fit outs that we did does not work with our current design guidelines and so on. So there are multiple reasons for which we exit the centers, and we feel that every year there could be two or three centers that will get closed down every year. And every 6 months in terms of hygiene, we are basically taking the write-off for the fixed assets and their written down value. So this is that part. So there would be some charge related to closure of centers every year, maybe 2 to 3 odd centers every year.
Got it. Thank you and all the very best.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yeshavardhan Agarwal from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, team, and good evening. Couple of questions from my side, so I will just give them initially, and then you can probably answer. So my question is on the margins in the fees addition.
Sorry to interrupt, Yashovardhan. Sorry to interrupt. Your voice is coming muffled.
Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So my question is on the fleet addition. So how should we look at it in terms of timeline? Because as per our earlier guidance, we should be adding, so total fleet should be around 175,000, which means that around 28,000 should be added in the upcoming two quarters. So will it be sequentially or is it going to be the last quarter heavy?
I would say it's going to be a bit more last quarter heavy in terms of supply acquisition. If you look at the trend for the last financial year as well, in H2 of FY25, we added closer to about 2,500 odd seats. And over here, as I've answered in one of the earlier questions, H2 of FY26 is where we have also pushing more on the supply acquisition, and H1 was more of a consolidation phase around for us.
Okay. So my second question would be on the margin. So excluding 3.5 crores written off that we have taken, our margins were around 15%, right? And so there are currently three things at play. First, margin from the mature center. Second would be the drag from the new centers, which are not mature. And third is the contribution from DNV segment. So could you please give us a breakup so that we could get to know that how are mature centers performing and what is the drag from the new centers?
So, with respect to the overall margins, breakup between mature and the growing centers or centers with less than 12 months of vintage, we are currently not sharing that data point. Probably, we can look at sharing that data point on an annual basis. But currently, the blended occupancies as well as the occupancy for 12-month plus center is what we are giving right now.
Okay. And so what is the break-even occupancy for this?
The break-even occupancy for? So typically, in a managed aggregation center, where we have a profit share model with a space owner along with a minimum guarantee situation, the operating break-even at a center is about 30%-35% of occupancy. For a straight lease center, that's similar operating break-even is at about 55-60 odd percent kind of occupancy. Generally, we hit about 80% of occupancy within first 9 to 12 months of center operations.
Okay.
So we just to add to your point, what we try to do is that the new center portfolio or the new centers are not a significant drag on the mature portfolio. That's what we intend to do and try to create a mix around on that.
Okay. And sir, on the balance sheet, I can see contract assets of 77 crores. So sir, how should I read that?
So Yash, those are the contract assets. Contract assets for us are the DNV project assets. So typically what we have is around 45-60 days kind of a receivable on that side. The assets till the time they are billed to the customer. So this is actually the work in progress on the DNV side.
Okay, got it.
Till the time the billings are done to the customer. Till the time the billings are done to the customer.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, how is furniture segment shaping up? Any guidance on that?
So on the furniture side, obviously we continue to remain quite active around it, and we are obviously continuing to evaluate all the opportunities in that space. So our long-term strategy is to continue to strengthen the backward integration, enhance supply efficiency. And then focus obviously remains on identifying the right operating model and partnership. So at this stage, I think we have been able to curate quite a few partnerships where these partners will allow us to expand that whole business vertical for us. Obviously, we have a phased plan, and I think over the next 3 to 6 months, you will see us obviously growing that segment. Last few months were obviously around curating the partnership, setting the portfolio, the kind of product offering we were enabling. And the next 3 to 6 months is obviously to continue to drive this growth forward. So you'll see, quite a bit of action over the next few quarters.
Okay. And so this last question I may ask, so can I go ahead?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so thanks. So in the presentation, you had mentioned that we are moving up the value curve, which focuses on grade A plus and grade A building. So if you could elaborate a bit on this, that how is this transition and moving, and how will it impact our market as well as our positioning in the market?
Yeah. So, Yash, as we move up the value curve, our focus on grade A and grade A plus assets being driven by the rising demand that's coming from the GCCs, the large enterprises, the premium clients that are seeking, obviously, high-quality tech-enabled workspaces. A number of these premium transactions are under the straight lease model, which typically delivers a higher margin at the center level compared to our MA structures, right? So that said, our overall strategy remains asset-like, with over 65% of our portfolio under fit-out pipeline is still under the MA model, right? Demonstrating obviously our continued commitment to an asset-light, sustainable kind of growth that we have. So that's kind of where we are headed with that. But at a very basic level, the MA straight lease mix, we don't anticipate changing. As I said, under fit-out centers still are in that, split of 65-35. And yes, in the short term, we did see some, but that was because we were adding a few more elite centers in the first phase of our growth. But overall strategy continues to remain asset-light.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Ravi, Sumita, and Amit. Thank you for the opportunity. Great set of numbers. I'm trying to understand in terms of the growth which we are delivering, right? We have improved our occupancy this quarter. But that is not getting reflected somehow in our operating margin improvement because the belief and the model itself is such that large part of fixed cost should get absorbed with the higher occupancy, right? The FA one-off is, even if I adjust that, the growth in expenses is faster than the revenue growth for the quarter. So, and this is I'm seeing for last 3-4 quarters as well. So, because one of the reason I understand that we are expanding on the seat capacities and the supplies, and that is eating away a little bit more on the expense side. But with the occupancy improving, the expectation was that we start to see the leverage kicking in terms of profitability, higher profitability. If you can run us down in terms of how should one look at it going forward and what has happened so far.
So Chintan, there are a couple of things which are happening at the same time. So one, for the quarter, if you have to talk about specifically, so there are two impacts which have come in the quarter. One is the FA impact, what we spoke about, which is what we have taken on few of the properties,
right.
Which is around 3.5 CR. The other impact.
How many seats got closed or adjusted?
That's around 900.
Okay.
The other thing what has happened is, in quarter two, as part of the annual appraisal process, so the ESOPs issued to the employees under the ESOP 24, scheme. So there's an additional charge which happened on the ESOP side. So that is around 2.4 crores approximately, which has impacted the current quarter versus the previous quarter. But however, that said, so we have been kind of, holding on to our margins over the last two or three quarters. And obviously, it's also an impact which is there because of the number of seats which have been rolled out in the last 1 year. Approximately, I believe around 35,000 seats have been rolled out in the last 1 year. So obviously, there'll be a time, when the, occupancy will take time to build up, and then there's a cost impact due to that. So as Sumit mentioned in earlier reply, we for the current year, we see the margins to be holding on to this level. However, we see the margins improve after maybe a 5 or 6 quarters.
Got it.
I mean, over the period of 5 quarters.
Got it. And if you can just one bookkeeping on the profit share part, if you can share, which typically I ask on every quarter call, that would be helpful. And lastly, on the industry point of view, one is the GCC focus has been all along for most of the peers as well. They've been very upbeat about the segment. And per se, we also started incrementally focusing more on the enterprise side. Not that we are not defocusing from the flex side or co-working side, but incrementally our focus is on the enterprise clients and GCCs. In that light, what is outlook? How the industry is evolving from the co-working flex to enterprise, driven demand, which is in the market right now, driven by the GCCs. If you can just sum up your views and thoughts about the industry overall.
Sure. So, Chintan, I'll answer the second part of the question, and while Ravi can, give you something on those numbers. So, the way we look at business, we are gung-ho on both sides of the business. The one is the flex side and the enterprise side. Flex has always been the core. We love catering to smaller cohorts across and creating a very large network of centers across India. And that's the strategy which we intend to follow over the next couple of years. Center sizes of 30,000 to 40,000 square feet and end up catering to a multiple segment of cohorts.
Correct.
So I see this side of the business and demand significantly growing, and there is no dearth. Rather, what we see is a large part of the competition, because they're only focused on only larger cohorts. Here we have a kind of a advantage now, and this is the segment which ends up giving us better pricing realization as well. Over the last couple of quarters, we started consciously taking a call with respect to moving on the premium segment, because this segment, we started realizing that with the behavioral change of occupiers moving towards flex spaces and adopting flex spaces, the larger MNCs and larger corporates for their mid to large sizes of requirement, so size of requirement ranging from 50 to 500 plus, are focused around on it. They were looking to give longer lock-ins and better kind of pricing. So we specifically started moving towards more premium segment of customer for enterprises. So when we do enterprises, we are a bit more focused around on Fortune 500 companies, larger corporates and MNCs, so that we end up getting a bit better price realization and don't end up getting into a situations where after 3 or 4 years of lock-in, when the client moves out, we don't have any recourse. So we are being very selective with respect to the enterprise clients we sign up. How we safeguard ourselves is with respect to the size of these clients. So most of the enterprise clients, when we are doing managed office, as the industry nomenclature exists, we prefer doing that also from a mid-size deals, so generally about 30 to 50 odd thousand square feet. But on selective basis, with respect to specific GCCs, where we are completely confident with respect to their plans over a longer tenure, or very large kind of corporates, where we know the kind of workspace plans they have, like a couple of quarters back we signed up National Stock Exchange, we take larger bets as well. So from that perspective, the strategy is very to grow across. One differentiator, if I could say, between us, our approach, and generally what I see in the market is, we grow very significantly with one single customer. From one single customer, we have almost about 45% of our clients have taken seats with us in more than one center. So even the larger enterprises we sign up, you would see they would have taken seats with us across many multiple locations, generally 5 to 7. And they not only work with us only in co-working or flex side, in managed office or enterprise side, but also on the DNB side. So that's how we have been looking at growing the business.
And the furniture piece will be part of DNB or it will be separate? How are you kind of thinking about structuring the?
Go ahead, Sumit. Yeah. So the currently the plan is to keep it as part of the core entity as well, not move into the DNB entity.
Okay. And the bookkeeping one, I'll join back in queue.
Yeah.
Thank you and all the very best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heet Parikh from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the rent outflow for the first half. What is the actual rent outflow? And secondly, on the capex number. Now with Elite Center more focused, what is our current per square feet capex and how is the number going for the full year?
Hi, this is Ravi Desai. So the rent outflow is 187 crores is the number which is there, flowing from the REU, which are the lease payments. And the other number, which even Chintan was asking, is around 56 crores, which is on the variable side, which includes the MA payouts, the profit share on the MA deals, and also the which are under 1 year, which, typically is are rooted through the, which are short-term leases, so to say.
Okay. And on the
capex
on the Elite Center, what is the difference delta there on the Elite Center and our old centers?
So essentially, the average capex on super built up area is about 1750 on a super built up area. The premium center, a gold center, would cost about 15-20% higher. So that would be another 200 to 250 rupees more. And then the Elite would be another 20% from gold, so that would be another 250. So a difference is about 250 between flagship, which is 1750, about 2000, and 2250 on the Elite Center.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. All the very best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Patel from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
So on the DNB segment, our revenues are flat in the first half. What is the reason for that slowdown? Earlier you said 50% is our own and 50% is third party work. Is that mixed still true today, and is the slowdown in any one of these segments?
So, there's a very strong demand in this segment as we see it. As I said earlier also, that the way to look at this is on a year-on-year basis. Some of the projects have their own timelines to start. Obviously, there's a time gap between the booking of project and the revenue delivery. We've seen 20% growth quarter on quarter this year. And we believe that on a yearly basis, this growth will continue to the guidance that we have given till now. So I don't see this as any, I think the way to look at it is the revenue here is on a year-on-year basis.
But it's an interesting point what you put across over there. As you would see, the H1, a larger number of seats which went live were primarily around on straight leases and Elite and DCC side. So a larger booking of revenue in H1 came around from the third-party revenue and not from the managed aggregation landlord side of the Transform business. So that's why there is at our end a significant level of optimism around on the DNB segment, because where we feel comfortable is that more number of larger third-party clients now are becoming our clients for DNB and are choosing our services. And with the kind of, order book which we currently hold, for H2, we are fairly confident around on our the whole annual numbers.
Okay. My other question was on your adjusted EBITDA to adjusted CFO conversion. This first half, which again
improved versus the second half last year. Can we expect that this conversion to be more than one going forward before we, you know, get the breakup of DNB and co-working businesses? Can this ratio remain more than one?
So broadly, it will be in the same range. Right now, the ratio is 1x for this quarter. For H1, sorry.
Yeah.
The ratio will continue to be in the range only. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Bajaj Finserv AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is on the CapEx number. FY26, first half, we saw.
Sorry to interrupt, Sabyasachi. Excuse me. Actually, a lot of background voice is coming from your end.
Hello, am I audible now?
You're audible, but a lot of. Yeah, it is fine now. It is fine now.
So I'm asking that what is the CapEx number for FY26, given we have already spent 110 crores in H1? What is the FY26 estimated CapEx?
So, Sabyasachi, the cash outflow on account of CapEx in H1 is approximately 110 crores. In the coming remainder of the year, as we see, the company will continue to evaluate the CapEx spends depending on our growth aspirations. We are seeing a good growth in our overall portfolio with a healthy mix of enterprise client acquisitions. So to answer your question, in number sense, it would be around 220 crores kind of a thing, in that range. So initially, we had given a guidance of around 180-200. So it would be in the range of around 200, 20.
Okay. But I mean, given the, you know, guidance that H2 will see aggression in terms of seat addition, will that number has an upside risk? I mean, going above, let's say, 220 and not just analyzing that 110 crores on H1?
At this stage, we don't see that happening because, as Sumit alluded earlier also, in H1, we obviously expanded our straight lease, and hence the spend was a bit higher. And in H2, the focus is for us to keep a healthy mix of our 65-35 between MA and straight lease, and hence we don't see any major deviation from what we are projecting for H2 as well.
Okay, just a follow-up here. So what happens to the free cash flow? Because I see, I think in H1, adjusted for the rent, our operating cash flow is somewhat close to 95 crores.
Sorry, your voice is not coming through. There is a lot of background noise, so it's unable to hear the question. Can you get to a quieter place and ask the question? It's very hard to hear.
Okay, I'll take it offline, sir. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Sabu from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, congrats on a great set of numbers. Can you just throw light on what is the possibility of us increasing our seat addition targets for, you know, FY27, FY28 from what we guided? And what is the upside in seat addition that we see?
So at this stage, I think, you know, we are not obviously able to give a guidance for 27 and 28 in terms of seat addition. In terms of FY26, the guidance continues to remain what we have given. And obviously, we are still evaluating our FY27 and 28 plans. And maybe by end of the year, we'll be able to share that further.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sweni C. Shah from Share India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on good set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. I just want to understand on a larger level, for a flex market space, can you let me know on how the total supply versus the total demand is going to flow for the next, I would say, FY27, 28 estimate, if you have?
Sure. So Obviously, the Indian market continues to perform, you know, strongly, with 64 million sq ft of gross leasing for year to date, right? With this leasing activity likely to match or even exceed last year's record level, we feel the GCCs will remain a key growth driver, accounting for nearly a third of the overall demand. On the flexible workplace side, India is now the largest market in APAC, with almost nearly 80 million sq ft of stock expected to cross 100 million by end of 2026. The demand for agile, tech-enabled managed solutions has risen sharply. If you look at the numbers, just our numbers, we are essentially doing about, in the H1, we have done about 30 odd thousand seats just as a single operator itself. And today, the flex industry is about 15%, 15-16% of the total overall leasing that we are seeing in the market. So overall, the outlook remains very, very positive. Flexibility, speed to market, you know, all of these, you know, great quality design solutions are obviously driving sustained demand. And India increasingly emerging as the global benchmark for modern workspace needs in the flex space. So all of it looks bright. As I said, I gave some metrics, but overall, the growth journey for flex as well as on the supply and the demand looks very, very strong.
Okay. Thank you. That is great. Quite understandable. But I just want to know a little more detail on if I see personally into the flex market. I just feel supply may be more than the demand. Is that the situation going forward, or like how would it be? Would it be at a break-even, or if you see demand will be more than supply? Is what I'm trying to understand a little.
So see, again, it's a bit of a, you know, hard question to answer at a macro level because the demand and supply is very micro-market driven, right? So you could have, for example, in a, you know, micro-market like BKC, today, supply is probably in single digits. But in certain markets like, you know, let's say Hyderabad Financial District, it could still be in double digits, right? So I think it's very hard to answer that question. Overall, you really look at the absorption, right? The absorption last year was 65 million. This year, we are going to cross that somewhere between 75-80 million. So clearly, the supply is only being acquired because the demand continues to be strong, right? And the demand drivers are multinationals expanding, GCCs expanding, India-facing IT expanding, India businesses growing. So all of the macro, despite all the challenges that we have had in the first H1 of FY26, the demand has continued to remain strong in each of the micro markets. So it's very hard to answer on an overall India basis. I think overall trajectory for both supply and demand continues to be good. There will always be some catch-ups that will happen because if you add a lot of supply, then it takes time to fill up. If you did not add supply for a number of years, then it becomes, in, you know, obviously hard to find that kind of supply in certain micro markets. So, but overall, I think both will go in somewhat in tandem as we go forward. Also depends what kind of supply you're looking for, right? I mean, in our case, for example, we are looking for centers which are typically at about 30,000 odd square feet, right? Now, at 30,000 square feet, this would be typically be a floor or maybe two floors in a building. Now, that kind of availability, even if I was to go to BKC today where everybody is saying there's no supply available, I can find. But when you're trying to look for large assets, right, 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 5 lakh square foot, those assets obviously will be much harder to come by because there's a build cycle for them and then there is a leasing cycle for them. And both to match is very, very hard. So because our strategy is to go with smaller centers, diversity across those centers, we are in 247 locations, we are across 19 cities, it gives us the ability to continue to grow irrespective of how the demand and supply of a local micro market pans out.
Got it. Got it. This is quite quite explanatory. I have one more question. Just to know on, I don't know if I've missed this or not, but I just wanted to know if how much is the number of seats that you're planning to, you know, add in the coming 2 years or 3 years plan?
So we just, as I mentioned earlier, I think we've given a guidance for FY26, which will hold. But for FY27 and 28, we would not like to comment right now. Maybe by end of the year, we will be able to give a clear guidance of 27 and 28.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for today's conference. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank everyone for joining the call today. We hope we have been able to give you a detailed overview of our business and also answer your queries. Should you have further queries or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.